Matthew chapter 21 is where I want to preach from this morning. What a joy it is to be back with you, and we appreciate the opportunity that we have to stand and be in the pulpit, and I appreciate the ministry of this church. I appreciate what God has given here in this place, and the online ministry as well. I appreciate Brother Mike and Mick and them and the work they've done to put that on. You say, does it really matter, Brother Jason? I got called out a while ago with the call of a watcher that was watching, wanted to ask me to, wanted to thank me, and then he said, I wasn't sure what God's doing in my life and why this is happening, that happening, and God was giving him a moment of exaltation. He was exalting him. He said, I didn't have a clue why, but he said, this morning helped. And so it was encouraging to get that call and know that even though people can't be here, they can still hear the gospel and it touched their lives and influenced them. And so what a blessing. And I know that there are many watching all over, and I appreciate the effort that has gone into making that happen. And I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21 this morning. When you found your place, would you stand in reverence to God's Word this morning? I'll not preach long, but I know it's good to stretch yourself a little bit before the preacher makes you set for a little while. All right. Matthew chapter 21, verse 12. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And Jesus went into the temple of God, and he cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple. And he overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. I want you to notice this phrase right here. But ye have made it a den of thieves. I was reading that a couple weeks ago, and come to that phrase right there. And it jumped off the page to me when I read it. Ye have made it. He was talking to them in the temple at that time. He went in, and when I read this, I have an imaginary mind when I read, and when I begin to read this, I thought, Jesus went in with some expectations. He went in hoping to see some things in the temple going on, but when he got there, he was disappointed. And he, enraged, he turned the tables over. We know, we see what happened. He began to whip them. We know the story. He made a scourge and whipped them and drove them out. But he said something that caught my attention. He said, you've made it a den of thieves. Man, my spirit began to speak to me, and I thought, and I want to preach this today. I want to ask the question, because God asked me this. What have we made it? What have we made it? In our day and time today, what have we made the house of God, the work of God, the labor of God? I think there's some things we can see in this chapter that God is expecting His people in His place to be. And I want to point them out today and ask us, what have we made it? Let's pray together. Father, thank You. Lord, we need Your help today. We don't want to stand and preach without power. We don't want to preach without anointing. Father, if anyone watching on internet or sitting in this service today goes away from this moment of time just hearing me, they will be in no way benefited. But God, if You can speak to their heart, if You will, with Your Holy Spirit, minister, God, not to just their ear, but their inner heart and their spirit and soul. Father, their lives will be forever changed. Their lives will be stirred to the place, God, that it won't be just a thought that goes through their mind. It'll be a thought that takes root and produces action. God, we want to go from this time of worship and study of Your Word today to become better men and women of God. Lord, I pray, I can't control anyone else's heart and soul and mind or prayer. God, I've come today, and as I get into Your Word, there's things You've caused me to think about, things I've even spoken today to others that as I spoke them, they pricked my heart. Because God, I want to be a better man of God. I want my fruit in my life, God, not to be fruit I just set upon, but that others, Lord, can enjoy, and it draws them and brings them to the knowledge of Christ. Lord, I want, as I worship and as I take my family to worship and as I labor in my church and, God, work with my pastor and with our people of our church, God, I want our church to be a place that when you come in amongst us, you find the things that you're looking for. But God, I don't want that just for my church, my area, my family. God, I want to see that sweep across our nation in the churches, Lord, that we become the house of God you expect us to be. Father, I deeply love Brother Mike, and I know his heart. I love him. I appreciate him. I know his desire to reach others, care for others. God, I pray that here at Bethel, Lord, you'll send a great revival. You'll send a great work. You'll continue to add to. You'll continue to bless their outreach, bless their ministries, God, that they do here and abroad. And Father, I pray the Word of God will continue to go forth out of this place to touch lives and minister as it has done so greatly. And God, I thank you for it. Bless us now as we preach your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want you to look for just a little moment of time. I think I may have said this last time I was here. I appreciate mentors in my life, and Brother Mike has been one of them. But I had a preacher friend, he told me, he said, now, don't ever forget, long preaching doesn't mean good preaching. All right? You say amen right there. That may be the best amen I get, all right? You say, what do you mean, Brother Jason? I'm not going to be long. I don't belabor my points and try not to repeat myself if I can help it, unless I don't see you paying attention, all right? Dad said that repetition is the best way to get a hold of stuff, amen? But I want you to notice what is said here. In this passage of Scripture, I think that we can see in verse number 12 that Jesus goes into the temple, and he's expecting. Would you agree with me as you read verse number 12 that you can see between the lines that Jesus is expecting to find something there? He's expecting to see, I believe he's expecting to see three things that I'm going to point out here, but none of that's going on. Now, don't get me wrong. It don't elaborate and it don't go into deep detail of, was there somebody praying? Was there anybody experiencing the power of God? Was anything happening? It doesn't elaborate, but it does show us that there were some things going on that bothered the heart of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When he got there, notice what he said. He said, it is written that my house is to be called a house of prayer. Would you agree with me that prayer changes things? Amen. Man, I'm thankful for the power of prayer. And I'm going to elaborate on that a little more here in just a second. But prayer is so powerful and so important and so needed in the house of God today. But that next statement that he makes, but ye have made it. What have we made it? Don't answer that out loud. Just let that ponder in your mind this morning. What have we made that? You say, what do you mean, brother? Notice this. He said, you've made it a den, number one. Has anybody ever been in the caves and went into caves? Man, I got to thinking about that. I thought, man, when Jesus said den of thieves, I thought back to a time that we were younger and we was living in Arkansas and we lived in a place that was out in the country, but down beside us there was a creek, and we would go down there and we would swim and play in the creek a lot of times. And one day we went out exploring a little more than we were supposed to, and we found some caves down there in our area. And we got in them and we looked around them, and I don't know if there was any history to the caves, but that's the first time I can remember in my mind having ever been in a cave. And we went back later with flashlights and tried to explore them a little deeper, and it was just a neat little place. But here's what I began to realize. Man, you could really hide out in these places. I mean, I could find one of these and nobody know where it's at, and I could hide out. You know what began to speak to me when Jesus said, you've made it a den? And I got to thinking, boy, have we not done that in our churches today? I taught this a little bit in Sunday school. Listen, God did not save us so that we can be saved and then we sit down on a pew and we gather all the knowledge we can get and then we let it sour in our lives. I taught this morning in Sunday school, and I guess I could have taught a little bit of it this morning, but listen, the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That doesn't mean figure out what it takes to get saved. That means just as if I explained this in Sunday school, if I was given a paper that said, hey, you own the rights to the land that has oil on it, unless I set a rig up and pull the oil out, that land is of no benefit to me. Neither is our salvation any benefit to us. If we get saved, and as the people of God, we just come into the house of God, and we just set on the knowledge of God, and we set on the fire of God that's in our heart. Listen, the Bible talks about that. We're to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good deeds and glorify our Father which is in heaven. And when I begin to think about that den, here's what I begin to think about. Man, God lights a fire in us, and if we're not careful, the only time we get excited about it is when we come in the house of God and they sing Amazing Grace, or they sing How Great They Art, or not they art, thou art. Let me make that clear. My tongue got over my eye teeth. I couldn't see what I was saying there. How great thou art. Or we sing I'll Fly Away, or we sing Victory in Jesus. Man, we get fired up and excited. But listen to me. That's kind of like a bunch of thieves hiding out in a den. Would you agree? If the only time I get excited about God is when I come to the house of God, if the only time I let the fire of God light up within me is when they sing my favorite song or the preacher quotes my favorite verse, and when Jesus said, hey, you have made it a den of thieves. Listen, we know what a thief is. Man, I've said this many a time. I can't stand several things, a few things, in life. I hate someone that lies. You say, Brother Jason, shouldn't hate anyone. God said he hates a liar. Amen. And I don't like a thief at all. I mean, I'll give you the shirt off my back, just ask. Don't take it from me. Amen. I mean, I'll give anybody the last dollar I have. Don't steal it from me. And when I think about a thief, we all know what a thief is. It's someone that robs. And so I got to thinking about, man, in the church today, that's really what we've become if you want to get down to it. And listen, I've said this many a times that don't take it personal when I preach hard like this because I am preaching to myself as well. But many times in the house of God, we come into the house of God and we hide out. And we've got a light within us. We've got something within us that we ought to be giving to people, and people ought to be seeing, and people ought to be experiencing, and they ought to be gaining the knowledge of. But what we're doing with our light is exactly what Jesus said in the Word of God. We're placing that bushel right on top of it. Man, when we get out in public, now listen, we'll be bold in Sunday school if we're a Sunday school teacher. Man, we'll tell our children or we'll tell the class exactly what they need to hear. We'll pour it out there just as straight as we can pour it out. If we're preaching or we're teaching, we'll put it out there just as straight as we can in Sunday school. Why? We know everybody's going to say, amen. Amen. They're going to back that. But then, listen, in our homes, we won't stand up and take stands against things that our children shouldn't be watching or listening to or observing or being a part of. In our families, we won't stand against sin, and we won't stand against things that we should not allow to be around our children or in our families. We won't speak out in our jobs and in other areas. And listen, I know you have to be careful, but I believe God wants us to be the light and be men and women of God. And what's happening in the house of God today is God is wanting to release His power. God's wanting to step in the midst. God's wanting to see some things going on that, listen, He can put His blessing upon and say, man, I approve of that. Listen to me. I've said this many a times. I had a friend of mine. He was going to another church in Tulsa, Oklahoma there at the time, and he'd say, man, have you heard their band, and have you heard their seen their children's area, and have you seen the lights they have, and the music they have, and the slides they have for the kids? And man, when you walk in their youth center, man, they have TVs all down the row, and they got Xboxes and PlayStation set up for the kids to play. And I listened to him talk for a little while, and I said, boy, they get their crowd, don't they? And he said, man, they do. I said, listen to me. Money can buy you anything. I've said this many times. I've been around the music for many years, know a lot of good musicians. I said, hey, I could put a band on stage that would blow people's minds. I could put singers together that would sing the house down. I could put a youth area together because I've been a youth pastor long enough to know what kids like. I mean, you don't have to raise kids very long. You know what they like. They love to be entertained, amen. They love to, and I've said, man, with enough, and I told my friend this, I said, hey, with enough money, all of us could do that. But I said, when people leave, what are they getting? See, when God approves of it, it's not about what you have going on. It's about God putting His stamp of approval on it. You say, how does He do that, Brother Jason? Listen, lives are changed, people are touched, people are educated about Him, people come to Him. And I want you to notice now in these next few verses, three things that He begins to point out. Notice what He says. My house shall be called what? The house of prayer. Well, I've thought about this so many times, I thought, one of my favorite songs is Sweet Hour of Prayer. Sweet Hour of Prayer. But I've been convicted of it, and I pray you will be too. How many of us have spent an hour of prayer in the last several years of our lives, last several days of our lives? How long has it been since we've seriously got on our face before God and stayed there until we heard back from God? Until we knew without a doubt that God has spoken to us. And listen, many of us will go into prayer and we may pray an hour, but it's an hour of us just pouring out all of our concerns and hurts. And don't get me wrong, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. And He tells us to approach His throne and pour them out and lay our petitions. Listen, I'm not saying that's wrong. But it would do us good if we speak for an hour to listen for an hour. It would do us good to get into the presence of God. And as we're praying, we begin to hear from God and let God begin to minister us. And I thought about when He said, my house should be a house of prayer. I thought, man, many times we're coming in and we're just going through the motions of what we think church should be and what we think church should, what should take place. And listen, I said this when I was pastoring and I'll say it here today. Listen, we shouldn't pick out a song. We shouldn't sing a special. We shouldn't deliver anything in the house of God unless it's been prayed over, unless it's been sought by God to have His anointing upon it, His direction upon it. Listen, I told my music director when he was leading music, I said, hey, don't you dare get up on a Sunday morning and just thumb through the songbook and pick something out. I believe that even through the songs, God wants to minister and anoint to our hearts and speak to us. So pray over it. And listen, we've got away from making the house of God a house of prayer where we're seeking the approval of God and seeking the direction of God. Because listen, the phone line that we have with God is so important to us. I thought to myself, I read a devotion. I read it to my kids the other night before we went to bed. We have cell phones. And in our cell phones, they have the shell and they have the covers and they have everything. But there's one important component inside every cell phone. It's a SIM card. Without that SIM card, you're not doing nothing. And that SIM card has to be connected before the phone call can be connected. And I went on into, and I didn't go totally in depth because it was a little above my kids, but I used the example to them of this. I said, hey, there is things within us that desire to talk to God, but we have to be connected to talk to God. I said, faith is so important in our lives. Can I tell you why we've stopped praying? We've stopped praying in the house, and I'm talking about fervent, effectual prayer. I'm not talking about just praying over the offering or praying for just, you know, just things that we don't. Listen, until you've had a life-threatening experience in your life, a time you've really needed God, we have had them in our lives. Somebody asked me, didn't your wife have brain surgery? Yes, over a year ago, my wife had brain surgery in a pretty good size, golf ball size, I'd say a little bigger, between golf ball and baseball size, tumor taken out of the back of her head. And I'll never forget what the doctor said when he come out. This guy knew I was a preacher, knew we was ministers, and we had several of our church families sitting around with us, and he called me over when we come out, and he said, if you're a prayer warrior, you better pray. He said, I've been doing this 20 years. I've never, ever taken a tumor off the base of the skull like I just took off your wife's brain. He said, it is eating her skull away. And he said, I'm not saying that she ain't going to live through it, but he said, if you're a prayer warrior, you need to pray. Listen, she's here a year later, and when the tests come back, it was not cancerous. But listen to me, it changed the way we prayed. It changed the way we sought God. And if you've never had that kind of experience, I'm talking about intimate, personal prayer with God. And so I began to tell my boys, I said, hey, you know, when I pick up my phone, I expect it to work. I expect something to be there to connect. And I said, listen, when I call Poppy, that's what we call my dad. They call him Poppy. I said, when I call Poppy, you know what I expect? I expect him to answer. I expect him to pick up. It bothers me if I call my dad and he don't pick up. Simply because, now, don't get me wrong, I know my dad gets busy. But my dad and us have always had the understanding, if it's our children calling, we'll pick up no matter what's going on. He would tell us, hey, nobody just walks into my office with the door shut. But he said, if it's you guys or your mama, you can come on in. He said, Dad always had little things he would do to let us know, you can't come in at this time, because he was in a meeting. But he'd say, I'll hear you and talk to you any time. So when I call my dad, I told, and my boys know that, Dad, Poppy will pick up when I call. I could call my dad right now, and if he had his phone anywhere he could see it, even in the pool, he would hand it to somebody and say, go check and see what's wrong. Jason is calling. My kids understand that. You know why? I've got faith in my dad that he'll hear me and he'll respond to my need. And I know my dad's limited. I told my boys this the other day. I said, Poppy would give me anything he has, but Poppy's limited. Some things he can't do. You say, what are you getting at? Listen, we've stopped praying in the church in faith. We've stopped praying believing that when we pray, God's going to hear us. I still believe that God can do anything, anywhere, anytime. I believe that God can touch anyone, save anyone, heal anyone, do great things. Why? Because I've seen him do it. And the Bible says he changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when we look at the things that God tells us, he said, hey, my house is to be called the house of prayer. Listen, the house of God ought to be a place that people know they can call and that people are going to pray. It's not just going to be a name written down on a list. Listen, I'll tell you, in a lot of churches, it'd do them some good to tear their prayer list up and start over until they're really going to pray about them. We've got prayer lists a mile long, but how many praise lists are we developing? So what do you mean, Brother Jay? We're praying about all kinds of stuff, but nobody's listing the things that are being done by God. You know why? Because we've stopped praying in faith. We've stopped believing that God will answer. We've stopped believing that he will hear. And so I was telling my boy, I said, hey, Poppy, I know I could call him right now and say, hey, Pop, I need such and such amount of money. And if he had it, he would do it in a heartbeat because he knows I'm trustworthy, I'll pay him back. But I also know there's an amount I can reach Poppy ain't going to do. I mean, there's amount I could reach that even if he had it in his bank, me and my wife pick on this. My dad's so tight that Lincoln don't sneeze on a penny that he don't know it. I mean, he's just tight. I'm sure he has his first dollar he ever earned. And I told him, I said, Poppy's limited. But here's what blesses me. God says, call unto me. Jeremiah 33:3, you got it on your wall up there, and I'll show you great and mighty things that you... And I think about that, and here's what I think about. People that love us and would give us anything and do anything for us, they're limited. They're restricted. Yet we trust them with every aspect of our lives. But God, who is unlimited, God who is not controlled by anything, God who has no restrictions upon him, longs to hear from us and longs to hear us call unto him, longs for us to ask, longs for us not to just ask, but ask in faith. A few weeks ago on a Wednesday night, we had a lady in our church that was experiencing cancer, and they told her it was cancer and was going to do tests. And she went back the next week. She come back last Wednesday night, she come back and the church prayed over her and believed that God was going to heal her. And she come back last Wednesday night and testified, God's healed us. Said, we done the first test, and she said, I'll be honest with you, I knew that they would not do the second test unless there was something they seen they were worried about. And she said they wanted to do the second test. And she said, I'm going to be honest, even after you prayed when they said they wanted to do the second test, she told our pastors, she said, my heart sank. She said, they done the second test, and they walked in and said, unexplainable to us, but the only reason we done the second test, because the first test didn't show nothing. We couldn't believe it, so we ran the second test. God had healed her. Listen, you say, what are you getting at, Brother Jason? That brings me to my second point. Listen to me. Not only is it to be a house of prayer, it's to be a house of prayer that changes things in the house of God. You say, what do you mean? Notice this. He says, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple. And what did he do? He healed them. You say, Brother Jason, now, I don't know about all that. Listen, I still believe in healing. I still believe God's able to do great things. When he left, he told his disciples, he said, these things that I've done, greater things than these shall you do. And I believe there's still signs and miracles that God wants to work among his people. Why? Because there are people that need to see the God we say we believe in is able to do the unthinkable in their life. Listen, I think it's great that God healed. And man, I love our pastor because our pastor is so good about pointing this out. There's nothing greater than the salvation of a soul. I mean, listen, I thank God that he healed my wife. I thank God that she's still sitting here today healthy. I praise God for that every day that I look at her and I see she's doing good. I think, man, thank God. I thanked God when that lady in our church last Wednesday night got up and testified that God had healed her. But man, just right after that, our pastor said, hey, that's all great. But he started pointing out new converts sitting in our church, and he said, man, the biggest thing God's done for us recently is, he said, Brother Drew was saved. And he starts pointing out people. And man, all of a sudden, Brother Drew hops up and he said, I want to praise God, because he said, man, the way God's changed me is just, I can't explain it. He said, you guys have loved me through it all. Boy, that began to just get to my heart. Because I began to think about, listen, when prayer is right with God, and God is set up on the throne like he's supposed to be, lives are changed. The power of God is released. Listen, I would dare say, sitting right here today, there are children, grandchildren, uncles, aunts, parents, family members, co-workers, people you love that even in the back of your mind you thought, man, I wish they could get saved. They can and will when we get the house of God back to what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a house of prayer. When it's a house of prayer, it'll be a house of power. Man, the power of God will be released. Notice this. He said, hey, the house of God. And listen, you say, Brother Jason, you believe that? I sure do. He said in Psalms 44 and verse 5, he said, through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against. He said in Luke 10:19, I have given unto you power over all the power of the enemy. And listen, he said, nothing by any means shall hurt you. God promised the house of God, us his people, the power of God to rest upon us. I'm so serious about this in my life at this point in my ministry that when someone calls me to pray, my wife can testify to this. When someone calls us to pray, we stop what we're doing and we try to pray immediately. We have literally been driving down the road and someone call and pray. We'll zoom over to the side of the road and stop and pray. Why? And I said this to you this morning when I read the prayer request that's highlighted over here before we start Sunday school. Those are not just names. Those are not just passing. I don't. Now, some churches may. I don't take prayer requests just because I need to fill 5 minutes. I can preach all day, okay? Brother Mike can preach all day. I've witnessed it. No, I'm just kidding, Brother Mike. I love you. We've got plenty to preach. We don't take prayer requests and do those things because we've got nothing to say. Listen to me. We ought to take that serious when we pray for one another. I've not been sick. I've not been ill. I've not had any illnesses in my body that a doctor couldn't help with just a shot or some medicine. I've never had something that I've had to lay in bed at night and pray for a miracle. But listen, tomorrow that could happen to me. I have seen my wife go through. I've had watched my wife lay in the bed with tubes hanging out of her that I never expect to see. And I laid there, sat there in the chair, and as she would sleep, I tried to be strong. So when she would sleep, I would cry thinking, God, I never dreamed we'd go through this. But I knew tomorrow someone may need to pray for me. And in my wife's life, many went to praying and God's touched and worked. And so I don't take for granted when God says, hey, that person called you because they believe you will pray. And when someone calls me because they want me to pray, Man, I pull over. Why? Because I still believe the power of God can be unleashed in people's lives. I'm still crazy enough to believe God can save anyone, anywhere, anytime. I still believe. Man, I watched this in our church. Hannah, I thought about Clint as I was just fixing. I thought about Clint that sits on the front pew. Man, he comes in dressed like $1 million now. And he looks nice every time he comes in. And he worshiped God and praised God. Wasn't long ago Clint was out in California and was a drunk, drug addict, messed up, running from God. And I watched the other night as our pastor began to talk about how God changes lives. Pastor looked over at Clint and he said, look at him. He said, he's so excited. He said, you know why? Because he believes if God can do it in him, he can do it in anybody. And I love watching him, guys, because it just starts, because God, that's the way God is. He can do it in anybody. But I wonder, what have we made it? Then notice this in closing. You say, preacher, you're just saying that. No, I really am closing. Notice this. He says then, the chiefs and the priests, chief priests and the scribes, they saw what he was doing, saw the things that he did. The children began to cry out in the temple and said, Hosanna to the Son of David. These guys, notice, were sore displeased. And Jesus said unto them, Hearest thou? Or they said unto him, Hearest thou what they say? And Jesus said unto them, notice this, Yea, have you never read, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Say, Brother Jason, what did he mean by that? I may interpret this totally different than you interpret, but here's what I got out of that. Jesus said to him, Yeah, I see what's going on. I mean, they asked him, Do you not hear what they're saying? Jesus said, Yeah, I hear what they're saying. And in a nutshell, just paraphrasing, in my mind, what Jesus was saying to them was this. What should have been going on and what I should have been seeing when I came in here is exactly now what I'm seeing. When I came in here, I was hoping to see people praying and people getting what they needed. But instead, I saw you setting up, worried more about what we were taking. And listen to me, that's the problem with a lot of churches. And I'm the first, listen, I've said as a pastor, I'm the first to say God will not bless you unless you give to the house of God. But I've also said God will take care of his church. Don't rob him in his tithes and offerings, okay? That's a whole different message. I don't want to preach it. Some of you got nervous when I said den of thieves this morning. I'm just kidding. The money is important because it costs to produce. It costs to run the lights and have a building and have insurance and air conditioning. It costs. But listen to me. Sometimes in the house of God, we're more worried about what's coming in there than we are how many lives are coming in. How many people's being saved? How many lives are being changed by our church? And when Jesus come in, he's seen them worried about everything else, man. They're selling doves and they've got things going on and they're exchanging. All they were worried about was the finances coming into the temple. And Jesus said to him, man, you have turned this into a den of thieves. And so he starts touching people and healing people, and what he wanted to take place in the temple began to. You say, what was it he wanted to see? Listen, I got to thinking about this last night and again this morning, and I'm going to develop another message out of that, just how that when he come in the house, he started healing, he started releasing, he started letting things go, because that's what's supposed to happen when God gets in the house. And then when that began to happen, what he wanted to see and expected to see began happening. Man, they began worshiping him. They began praising. You know what church ought to be when we come in? It ought to be a testimonial praise time of everything God's used us to accomplish for him during the week. It ought to be a time of worship. It ought to be a time of praise. It ought to be a time we come in and, man, we can't help but sing to the top of our lungs because of what God's done, the joy that God's put in our heart, how he's used us all week. Listen, the Bible teaches us so much about praise, and I encourage you to study it out. I preach a message on this, but I love Psalms 107. When I was a kid growing up, my dad would say something once. If he said it twice, you might get by with it. But listen to me. If he said it the third time, I grew up in the days of Mr. T. Everybody remember that? Mr. T would say, I pity the fool. That's kind of the way my dad was. Dad would say, man, if I have to tell you three times, I pity you. So I learned at a young age, anything that's said repetitiously, you better pay attention to. You know, Dad would teach us boys by repetition. You know, he'd say it breakfast time. Hey, pick your plates up, throw your trash away. Pick your plates, lunchtime, pick your plate up, throw your trash. It wasn't long we learned when we get done eating, pick our plates up, throw our trash away, help mom clean up the table. I do that with my kids now. You know, we're sitting at the table because it just stuck in repetition. So I'm reading Psalms 107 one day, and I see four or five times in there, I believe it was, four times in verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, verse 30, 31, he says this phrase, oh, that men would praise the Lord. I read that in verse 8, read that in verse 15, read it verse 21, read it verse 31. It jumped off the page to me because I said, hey, he said it more than once. And if he says it more than once, our Father's pretty serious about it. And it's a whole different message, and next time I get to come back, I'll preach it to you if God will let me. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. He makes it very clear. For his wonderful works and his might among men. Listen, if God's been good to you, you ought to praise him. If God has blessed you, you ought to praise. Well, you're sitting here today, so you got plenty to bless him for. I mean, I thought about this when I woke up this morning. My lungs are working. There's not a trick down my throat. I'm able to breathe. I'm able to walk. I'm able to go. I'm able to be here. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within. He's a good God. There's so much to praise him for. And he challenges us and encourages us. And then when I came to Psalms 117, I like to use this one because it makes me laugh inside. Because when I was a young youth pastor, I went to work for a preacher. And he would ask the funniest questions. And we would always, at the end of service, some of us guys would get tickled. We'd say, man, preacher almost makes you feel like you're doing aerobics when you go to church. Because he would say, how many of you? And he would have you raising your hand all the time. But one of the things he would always ask is, he would say, how many of you is a you? Or how many of you is a me? How many of you are people? And at first, when I first started working for him, I thought, that's a silly. But he made you apply it to you. You say, why, brother? Notice this. Psalms 117, verse 1. Praise him, all ye people. I could hear him in the back of my mind the first time I read that. All ye people. I could hear Brother Gene say, how many of you are a people? Every one of us will raise our hand. I'm here this morning. I'm a person. I'm a people. Listen, the Bible says praise him. Not Jason and Hannah. Not Brother Mike and Miss Lisa. Not just certain ones of us. Praise him, all ye people. Listen, it's the duty of all of us. It's not just the song leader. It's not just the pastor. It's not just the musicians. It's not just certain people in the church. All of us are to let the praise of God flow from us. So I want to ask you this morning in closing. I want to ask you this simple question. What have you made it? Dad, mom, if you're sitting here this morning, I want to ask you. Man, when your kids go to the house of God, what have they made it? What are they seeing? Listen to me, I recently started running a school full-time as administrator, not pastoring. And we visited a few churches, and I told my wife, I said, listen, I've been raised Free Will Baptist all my life, and I am Free Will Baptist from the top of my head to the sole of my foot, and I believe Free Will Baptist doctrine. But I told my wife, I said, listen, before I let my kids sit in a Free Will Baptist church where they're not seeing the power of God released, they're not seeing all God in his glory. And listen, I don't believe that. I believe that you'll know the difference in the fake and the real. There are some out here that say they got it going on, and I just struggle with that because I'm not seeing a lot of life change going on. They're professing salvation, then listen, the CIA can't even find them with radars after they profess to be saved. I don't believe that's true salvation. But I told my wife, I said, I want my kids to grow up in a church where they're experiencing the power of God seeing the miracles of God, know that prayer works, hearing a preacher preach it straight to them. And I've not pastored the last several months because God has placed us in a church. God's allowing me to go out and preach, but my kids are getting preached to. They're getting to see miracles happen in our church. They're getting to see the power of prayer. They've got a preacher, man, we've got a preacher that'll preach straight down your neck. And yes, we don't have the title Free Will Baptist on our sign, but we are Free Will Baptist. But listen to me. It's more about the power of God in the house of God to me and my children that I'm raising than it is going and just going through the motions. Because listen to me, when God several weeks ago began to put this in my heart and my mind as I was studying and reading over this, I began to think, man, what have we made it in the house of God today? We're missing true prayer going on in the house of God today. I'm talking about prayer that... You say, what do you mean? The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Things happen when people of God pray. Real people of God, things happen. God still is on His throne wanting to show His power. I don't believe that's changed because the Bible says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He done miracles back then. He showed His might back then. Why? To bring praise unto His name. I believe He still wants to do that. Does He have to do that? Listen, if God never does another miracle, He's still God. But I believe He can still do miracles. And I believe He still wants to do miracles so that people will praise Him. And listen to me, very clearly in this word, God wants your praise. Not does He just want it, He deserves it. He deserves it. I thought about this as I was studying this morning. We were getting around in the room down there. I had my Bible laying up there and I'd been reading through this passage and studying on these things and reading over again. And I thought, you know, me and the wife, the new house we live in, our boys is upstairs. Now, how many of you know a fat boy don't like to climb stairs? Huh? Say amen. So I don't go upstairs any more than I have to. All right? My wife will go upstairs, and I do go up there once in a while. But lately, I've went up there more than I used to because the wife began to come down. She said, you ought to see their room. She said, I can't deal with it. You deal with it. And so I'd start dealing with it, and then she would deal with it. She'd tell them, get up there and clean that. And she didn't go up there and monitor them. And I thought to myself, I was laughing this morning as I was getting around. She was getting ready. And I thought to myself, man, how many... Recently, a lot, we've had to tell our boys. We're trying to drill into them. It's not in the Word of God, but cleanliness is next to godliness. I mean, if God said, what one verse do you want to add? I mean, we might add that one, you know. But we drill our boys, cleanliness, guys. Get in the shower, pick up your trash, clean the room, you know, constantly. And more now with their upstairs room, because I went up there, my boy couldn't find his belt, and I went up there to try to help. Man, I thought, no wonder you can't find your belt. Now listen, my wife's getting, she's going to chew me out later. I'm just kidding. I'm just playing, babe. She's going to say, you're going to make everybody think we live nasty. No, we don't. Okay? My wife is OCD when it comes to cleanliness. But I went up there and just in a day and a half of us not walking up there and making sure everything was where it was supposed to be, my boys had shirts laying in the floor and their pants laying here, and I thought, well, no wonder you can't find it. You don't know where your belt is because you probably took it off between the car and the bed. But I thought how we've had to drill them and work on them to exercise that. Listen to me. Sometimes God has to remind us. I could make you praise me. The other day, the boys come downstairs and they said, Dad, we cleaned. I'm like, do what? I said, Mom's not even here. And I went up there and sure enough, now it wasn't to the standard that we would like, but they had hung shirts up, they had picked stuff up, they'd even brought their laundry down to the laundry room. And I thought, man, I thought to myself, maybe they're getting a hold of it until the other day I went back up there. But here's what God said to me. I could make you praise me. Listen to me. I've thought about this several times. God can put us in a situation where we'll turn our eyes to Him. We'll begin to realize how much we need Him. We'll begin to realize how good He is. I've experienced a lot of that in the last year of my life, last several years of my life. from my wife's surgery to, man, losing over half of my salary in a day's time to God adding back half of it back. And I mean, just crazy things that have happened that I begin to worry, and then God would take care, and I'd worry, and God would take care. And I've realized in a moment's time, in a phone call, in a situation, God can make you look to Him. But God blesses us every day. We have plenty to praise Him for without Him making. I could make my boys, and I do. I make them keep their room clean. But do you know how much joy it brings me when they just do it because they love me? Think how God feels when we just praise Him just because. Not because of the most recent thing He's done, but just because. Man, He's good. He deserves it. And I wish we'd get back to the place of the house of God being what it should be. It's not a hideout, a den. And God help us if we're... Listen, I thought about... And I don't want to preach long on the thieves, but think about that. What are we robbing? Our community? I look at these little... I love kids. Man, I love kids. If I didn't, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing as a minister. I love kids. I look at kids and I think, what kind of church are they going to grow up in? What kind of God are they being taught about? They're hearing it in the Bible and they're thinking, why don't He do them things now? Why? Listen, that's one thing I told my wife. I don't want them to hear about what God used to do in the Bible. I want my kids to hear that and realize He can still do it. And we're robbing a generation that's growing up now as children because they've never seen miracles. They've never seen true revival. They're not seeing people brought out of the gutters and the ghettos and the bad areas of life and their life changing, them going from being a drunkard, worthless dad to being a dad who cares about his family, providing for his home. They're not seeing those things. You know why? Because we've stopped praying. We've stopped letting the power of God be released in our churches. The church is a den of thieves. We're robbing people. And God help us to get it back to what God wants it to be. Let's stand together.